So because we're still in kind of a transitional time, I'm going to still take a little bit of a break from the Gospel of Mark, but next week we'll return to the Gospel of Mark, and because it's going to be Palm Sunday, and we'll pick up right there with the triumphal entry of Christ. But today we're going to be looking at worry. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. So we'll be beginning right around verse 25. So you can go ahead and find that spot. And when we talk about worry, it's really interesting. John Owen and I have had a conversation this week about worry and talking about what Jesus is actually talking about in this passage. So I decided maybe we should look up the definition of worry, because oftentimes we think about what worry is about. So I went online and typed in worry, and wow, a lot of things. There's just a lot of things on worry. And but the definitions that came up, the first definitions that came up, I have to be honest, I was surprised by. The first definition means to harass by tearing, biting, or snapping, especially at the throat. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So who would have thought that? And so also to shake or to pull with the teeth. So it's like the verb worry sometimes is like the dog is worrying over the bone. And that means the dog has the bone and it's gnawing on it, chewing at it, not letting it go. I don't know if you ever, our dog, whenever she gets a treat or something that she wants to protect, she takes it, she leaves the kitchen where we've given it to her. And if she feels like maybe she needs a little extra protection, she goes underneath the dining room table. Or she goes behind a chair, because that's her thing, and that's kind of worrying over it. So it means to just constantly be to be disturbed repeatedly. To also has the idea of torment or just nagging attention, something that just continues in unceasing or difficult effort. So when I was reading that, I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because I think we use worry not like that. Yeah. I think we use worry as this word, and we see in the Bible, it talks about anxiety or worry. Sometimes it's translated in the Bible more as a concern. And I think sometimes we have that idea. But the actual definition of worry actually carries a lot of lot more powerful meaning to that. Some of the synonyms that have come up on it means to annoy, to harass, to harry, to plague, to pester, to tease. So there is there's an idea of dwelling in this. And I think when we take a look at the passage that we're going to be looking at, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, right before this verse, Jesus is talking about serving two masters, and you can't serve one without hating the other, so we have to decide, are we going to serve money, basically man's pursuits, or are we going to serve God? Then he works right in to this passage. So there's a whole idea of what are you dedicating your life to? What are you dedicating your purpose to, your passion to, if you will? And then at the end of this passage that we'll be reading, he talks about not being anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when we talk about worry, and the definition that we're going to be working with this morning is actually something that is just constant. It is consuming worry. It is a worry that just doesn't go away. It's really our focus in life, and sometimes people end up that way, especially now with COVID-19 and our news media just constantly hitting us with bad news. Usually about the rapid increase of that, about people who are taking that, contracting that. We just learned last night, a nursing home in Maryland, that 65 residents have tested positive for COVID-19. And so there's almost like a panic that comes out of that. And then unfortunately, there's people on social media that kind of buy into that panic and it's the posting of every death notice and how many have died and what's the rate of increase. And And there are some people out there that are trying to counter that with pictures of puppies. Which are nice to see pictures of puppies, but does that really hinder us from worrying? I think what we'll find is today, as Jesus is teaching, gives us an idea about what it is that we should be doing instead of this all-encompassing worry. So if you have your Bibles, just follow along with me. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. And this is Jesus himself speaking, and he says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day is its own trouble." So what we're going to look at in this passage is we're going to see about what worry is about. You know, Jesus is telling us that we should not give ourselves over to worry, that we should not give ourselves over to being anxious. And we're going to look at some of these reasons why. First of all, one is it's just irrational. It's illogical. It's unreasonable, if you will. First of all, we tend to worry about things that aren't that important. And a few years from now, the things that we worry about today, we'll look back and go, why was I even worrying about that? And Jesus told us that we are not to be anxious about our life, what we'll eat or we'll drink, nor about our body, what we will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So, yes, our life is more important than these things. We understand these things are important for us to live and to go about, but they're not more important than our very life. And so we're supposed to take a focus on what our lives, focus on our very lives, seeing the bigger picture. And often the other reason is that we worry about things that we cannot change. If we could change it, then we should change it. But if we cannot change it, you know, that's okay. One of the things, being a shelter in place, is watch a lot of TV at times. And the Turner Movie Classic, earlier this week, Lisa and I were watching, and one day, I forget what day it was all submarine movies. And two of the submarine movies that were back-to-back were interesting. One was Destination Tokyo, with Cary Grant and Alan Hale Sr., and then the other one was Up Periscope, with James Gardner and Alan Hale Jr. So and if you don't remember who Alan Hale Jr. is, he was the skipper on Gilligan's Island. His father looks just like him. It is amazing, but it was kind of funny that they were both playing these submarine movies back to back. But in the one Destination Tokyo with Cary Grant and Alan Hale Sr., there's a young sailor that comes in, and he's a little nervous about being on the submarine, and Alan Hale's character looks at him and says, listen, because the kid is actually worried about depth charges coming, and Alan Hale tells him, listen, there is no reason to be worried about depth charges. If they're far away, they can't hurt you, so there's nothing to worry about. And if they're really close to the submarine, there's nothing you can do about it. So there's no need to worry about that. And then a little bit later, when they're actually being depth charged, he was one who was really worried about it. So, you know, we can oftentimes, isn't that the way it works, is we talk about not being worried about things, and we can kind of rationalize it, but in a moment, we get swept away with it. And part of that is our nature that God has given us, that we want to have self-preservation. But the unreasonableness of it is that we sometimes make things bigger than what they really are. There's an article about how to stop worrying from healthguide.org, and they mention some of this, like overgeneralization, you know, from a single negative experience and expecting it to hold true forever. It's like, I didn't get hired for that job. I'll never get a job. So, you know, you're just projecting things and making it worse than what it is. You're focusing on the negatives. I got the last question on the test wrong. I'm such an idiot. You know, and I have met people who got an A minus instead of an A, and they were frustrated by that, and they were like, oh, I'll never amount to anything. And really? That's pretty good. An A is an A. Sometimes we just expect a worst-case scenario. People will sit on a plane, and they'll think, oh, my goodness, the pilot said we're in for some turbulence. The plane is going to crash. And I've flown with people who have been like that. One time going to Scotland, we hit some turbulence, and the poor lady next to me was just screaming and crying, and I kept telling her, it was okay. It's okay. Then when the turbulence got so bad that the cart fell over in the aisles, others joined her. So others became more into that. But so we tend to start thinking and making things worse than they really should be. Since if you did something that's a little embarrassing, I feel like such a fool. Everyone must be laughing at me. And, you know, there are all kinds, lots of videos about this. Actually, was one this morning where some people from the radio show were doing a Zoom conference talking to each other on the air. And they're sitting there at their desk. And the one guy, they all said goodbye. And the guy got up without turning his camera off. And he just had a shirt on, boxers on, and as he walked away, and they're all laughing at him, and sometimes we do foolish things, and we think nobody will ever take us seriously again, or everybody's always going to be laughing at us, so let's not make things out worse than what they are. That's the unreasonableness of it. And also, there's an unnatural aspect to it, too, and I'm not talking about the aspect of being concerned about a clear and present danger. But I'm talking about when we take it and we make it into something more. I heard a person talking about this passage and said that animals never really worry about things. That's not quite true. I mean, herd animals tend to be a little bit worrisome. For instance, I had a dog, Guinevere. When she got older, she did not like to be left alone. And one time I was in the house, and she thought she was alone, and she howled. You know, but when you show up, no more worry. You know, she's perfectly fine. So she didn't dwell there, but there was that aspect. So there are times in our lives that things might be a little overwhelming. For instance, when Jesus, right before the cross, and praying about whether this cup, this path could be taken from him. He was consumed with that, but he didn't stay there. You know, he was focused on the mission. But what we do is we kind of take things and make it unnatural. Jesus was referencing that. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Of course, yes, we are. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like any of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, and will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So what we recognize that God is our Heavenly Father. He says right here, your Heavenly Father. He doesn't say that he's the Heavenly Father of the birds or the lilies, but our Heavenly Father. We have this relationship with him, and we recognize that relationship is through Jesus Christ. When we confess him as our Lord, our Savior, our leader, our forgiver, when we make that confession, he rescues us and he saves us. And so as a child of God, we recognize that we have certain privileges, and he will take care of us. He will provide for us. And while we may have a concern right for a certain moment, if we allow it to become a part of our lives and just dwell on it, it becomes very unnatural. And not only does it become unnatural, it becomes very unhelpful and unhealthy. It's useless. When we talk about worrying, oftentimes it changes nothing. We can worry about things and it absolutely changes nothing. Jesus said, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" And we know the negative consequences of worry. It does not give you a hope for a longer life. Actually, every metric that they use, stress reduces your lifespan. Other things that worrying can do, it can rob you of your energy. It raises your blood pressure. It raises your sugar level and your blood work. It has so many negative aspects to it. So it doesn't make you live longer. One pastor that I was reading that talked about this said it doesn't add to your height. He said it can't make you skinnier and it can't make you fatter. Actually, worry can if you are a worry eater or if you're a worry starver. It can do that, but it's not a healthy way to do that. So what we want to recognize is that worry really robs us of our lives, because it doesn't give us control over the future. We do not have control over the future, and it can't change the past. Worrying over the past, it does nothing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, an ancient heart weighs a man down, and that's all that worry does. It weighs us down. Worry is also unnecessary. God promises to provide for us. If we have faith in God's provision, then we will not worry, and we will reject the values and pursuits of the world. In verse 32, it says, "For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So we're supposed to live the values of our heavenly Father, recognizing that he will take care of us. Now, there are things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live his principles found in his word. Just like the birds, they go out and they gather for their nest and feed their young. And there are certain things that we're supposed to do, but it is God who provides for us. When my kids were young and we would go on trips, sometimes they would start worrying about, well, how are we going to get there? Or what are we going to do? Or, you know, just don't you worry about that. I got that under control. I have that. That's my job. And when we are actually worrying excessively, one of the things that we should recognize is that is an indication that we're trying to do God's job and not our own. So we want to reject that worldly view of that we have to fix it. You know, it is all under my power and under what I can do. And then finally, what we want to recognize is that when we reject this is living like the world and is living in unbelief. So worry is unbelief. Worry means we forget the goodness of God. Each day we have opportunity to express that belief in his provision and what he's given us. So each day we have opportunity to trust or to continue to feed the worry. There's again in verse 34, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus wasn't whitewashing anything. He's saying there are hardships each and every day that we're going to have to face. And in that daily facing of those hardships, those troubles, those trials, we exercise faith and we are to trust in God. All the worries in the world can do nothing about the cares and troubles about tomorrow. We can worry all we can about the next week or the next month, but it will not change. What we have to recognize is the present time and trusting at this moment. And as Christ followers, we want to practice allowing God to care for our needs and troubles every day, earlier in this chapter, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And it's interesting, right in that prayer is dealing with this very topic about trusting God every day. Listen, you remember what the prayer is. You know, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Actually, some people say it's better the disciples' prayer. It's the model prayer that Jesus gave us. And it's, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Doesn't say give us this year our yearly bread. It is a aspect of understanding the very present of our need. And that's where we need to focus. Every single morning that we get up, we have a choice. Will I give in to worry, or will I trust in Christ? Am I going to allow him, as we talked about last week, the Lord is my shepherd. Am I going to allow Christ to be my shepherd? That is ultimately what we are called to make that decision. So don't give in to worry. There are times that we are going to be concerned. There are going to be times that things will be so overwhelming. But don't let your imagination run away. Don't let your creative imagination create worse scenarios. Use your imagination and your creation, your creative mind, to trust in God and find new ways of expressing that trust and sharing that trust with those around you. Look at the flowers. Consider the lilies. Look at the birds. Consider them.